Saving money now during Menards Bag Sale. All prices after 15% bag sale discount. Pick up a six-pack of LED light bulbs for just $2.97. Get a wood or fiberglass claw hammer for only $2.29 each. 52-ounce bottles of Ajax dish soap, just $2.97. And 12 packs of Shasta soda in assorted flavors are only $4.19. Don't miss out on Menards Bag Sale happening now. Good through January 12th. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Don't you dare look down. Can't you see that gleam? It's a lit up town. I said, shut up and light the beam. This laser is a King fan's dream. They said, ooh, shut up and light the beam. We were victims losing games in the most dark and depressing ways. A joke of the league, it was a shame. Oh, we were bound to see the laser, bound to see the laser. DC took charge.
I don't know how it happened.
He took the floor and they said, oh, don't you dare look down. Can't you see that gleam? It's a little dark. I said, shut up and light the beam.
Yeah. Love it. Good job. Good
Thank
job.
Thank you. Is I know it's like
Give
a little.
Me a hell yeah.
You know what? I got to be
it
honest.
Too fresh?
The body's still warm. You literally. 2 weeks ago, Mike Brown was in those lyrics.
I know.
And you just got, let's, we'll take him what? Out. DC.
It was
is
such
in.
A fun song. Mike who? And like. Yeah, so
You're sick.
Anyway, we're working on new Beam songs
I didn't
every
know.
Single week.
Are we?
Well, you know what I thought about? When
you
try
one
and force
favorites.
Me to sing a Beam song and I don't know anything.
We haven't even started the damn podcast yet, but one of my favorites is Love Story.
But that has nothing to do with the Beam.
I know, I just like it.
Because you were shooting threes and I was getting rebounds and I looked at you to get an A-horn set, but you waved it off and said, hey, no, a D-H-O. And I said, dear, and keep shooting in the restricted zone. I'll be rebounding because I love it. So you'll be my point guard. I'll be your center. It's a King story, baby. Just say yes.
When you...
When you touch him like this and you hold him like that, it's a foul for the stars, but it's not for Sabonis. When you grab him like this and you jump on his back, I just cannot believe that it's marginal contact. When will it be more than marginal contact for him?
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know.
Oh, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, and how times have changed. It was 2 weeks ago tonight that the Sacramento Kings fired Ooh. Mike Brown, and we were thinking, oh, this is over. Chaos abound.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next day, they lost their sixth game in a row on the road to the Lakers. You looked at the schedule, it looked daunting. The Kings played some shorthanded teams a little bit, sure, but they've been shorthanded too. Played without De'Aaron Fox the last three games, and they have dug themselves out of a massive hole. After losing six in a row, they have now won six straight. Doug Christie has changed the vibes in Sacramento. Confidence looks to be at an all-time high, and we're seeing things we haven't seen before. Locked in defense, switching, physicality, some nastiness, some grit, some toughness, sprinkled in with some three-point shooting, and the Sacramento Kings do the improbable. They go to a place they don't win very often. In fact, it's the first time in 18 years that they have won in Boston with fans in the building, because the last time was during the pandemic. And what a night it was in Boston. The Kings clapped that ass in the second half, holding Boston to just 42 points. They outscored them in the fourth quarter, 38-21. And how about Domantas Sabonis?
Domantas Sabonis.
He had a franchise record 28 rebounds tonight, along with 23 points. And the Sacramento Kings go to Beantown and get a victory, becoming only the second team this season to hold Boston under 100 points, joining OKC. They win 114-97, and guess what?
What?
Knock, knock, knock. Back in the play-in picture in the ninth seed, they are now 19-19 on the season, with a trip to Chicago coming up next on Sunday. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. Oh, Morgan.
Are we back?
We're so back.
I'm getting so many DMs. We're so back.
It feels good right now.
Feels great.
Where do we start tonight, or do we start with just how are you feeling right now after the last 2 weeks?
I can start.
Think about what you were 2 weeks ago.
Okay, fine. I'll just start there since that's obviously where you kind of led things to go. I mean, we've kind of done that after every single game, but with also talking about, oh, this team was shorthanded. What are they going to do against this next team who doesn't have this player, but, you know, this team, Kings haven't been a good team at home, whatever. And they kept getting wins. Then they kept getting wins. But then how they were getting wins and how they were playing defense and how they were scoring the basketball. And they started making threes. And it's like, okay, small sample size, but believe what you see. And now I sit here today after beating a healthy Celtics team with no De'Aaron Fox, feeling really good. Feeling really good about the Sacramento Kings and where they're at right now. And I feel guilty for feeling so up and down, for feeling the lowest of lows, and now I'm like feeling great, like maybe. But I also think it's fair to say you and I are watching a lot of different Western Conference teams play on our off nights, and you think about everyone's challenges and what's going on everywhere in the Western Conference. So yeah, I'm feeling good.
It feels great right now. And for them to get out of this hole this fast is what's impressive, right?
Right. Yeah.
When they're sitting at 13 and 19, one, you're going, are they going to turn around their season? Two, God, getting back to 500 just seems like such a tall task.
Sure.
You rattle off six straight. And, you know, you heard the stuff this week, and if you didn't see it, on the Hoop Collective podcast, Brian Windhorst and Tim Bontemps were going over the Kings' 5-game win streak at the time. And they're going over game by game. Like, yeah, but, you know, Embiid didn't play. And then Bontemps says, oh, no, Embiid did play and the Kings won. And then it was, well, Steph didn't play, but Steph did play. My whole point is there was mass confusion as they try to nitpick this Kings win streak.
Thank you.
And it just showed how out of touch some of these people are. It's just, hey, how about you watch a game, do a little homework before you pop off about a team?
Ooh.
But look, you can look at who the Kings played before this. But when you're 13 and 19 and you can't get by anybody, it doesn't look like you can win a game.
That's it.
You just have to play the games on your schedule, and you're not going to discount any wins as you're trying to get out of this. But I will say this, tonight against a Boston team that was 100% full strength,
yep,
a Boston team that coming in tonight with that starting lineup intact was 9-2. Obviously, a team in Boston that's defending champs, they do a lot of things at a high level. They take the most threes in the league. They make the most threes in the league. They play good defense. They've got size. They've got a little bit of everything. And so tonight, without De'Aaron Fox, I was eager to see how the Kings were just going to compete. My expectation was, you know, just go out there, compete, and give yourself a chance to win. They not only competed tonight, they went up to another level. And this group is playing inspired. Doug Christie has tapped into something, and it is pretty special right now.
It is. Like we kind of said, use your eyes, watch the game, and you can see the style that they are playing right now is very inspiring. But one of my favorite things, you and I watched OKC Boston the other day.
Yep.
And we watched how OKC played even against a bigger lineup, even when they were putting Cornette and Porzingis in, right? And OKC, long, can play bigger than they are at times, but without Chet and just Hartenstein, it's not like the biggest team in the NBA or anything. They were relentless. They were aggressive. They were physical. You and I were like, this is what the Kings need to
do. This was the blueprint.
Like this is the blueprint. This is what they need to do against Celtics if they want to have a chance. Not only did they do that from the jump in the first quarter, set the tone with that type of physicality, being up in people's faces, contesting threes, whatever it was. They made a team in the Celtics who take care of the ball well, turn the ball over, think twice about things. And that alone tonight, I mean, you can, because I sat here and I go, look, like Boston didn't have the best shooting night from three. That's going to happen. But you have to give credit where credit's due. And that also goes to what the Kings were able to do defensively.
That's what jumped out to me. And as I was sitting here waiting for you to get back to Sacramento, I went back and was watching late third quarter and watched the fourth quarter.
You're sick.
No. Tonight, there was nothing sick about it because I was like, let's just enjoy what I'm seeing. And I'm so glad I did, because what popped even more so on the second watch was just how locked in this team was defensively with their switching, with the ball pressure. They were moving on a string. Mm-hmm. There's so many like shout outs to give tonight about guys, but one guy who jumped out to me a lot tonight was Trey Lyles. Trey Lyles' compete tonight was fantastic. I mean, it was switching on to guys that you go, oh, that's going to be a matchup problem. It was being there and help when necessary. There was a play where I believe it was Tatum or Brown who got a step on DeRozan, and Trey Lyles peeled off from the corner, sprinted his ass over to help. Uh-huh. It was Jaylen Brown, and Jaylen had to throw up a crazy reverse that was missed.
Yeah.
It was examples of seeing them run off 3-point shooters. But sorry, I'm jumping around a lot.
It's okay.
Trey Lyles, I thought his defense was outstanding. He had 11 rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds for Sacramento. And the rebounding tonight was critical.
But there was another play I want to mention of Trey Lyles. It was Jason Tatum had the ball, Kevin Huerter on him. Kevin Huerter gets on his hip because Jason Tatum gets the first step down the left lane. Keon Ellis comes over to help. Jason Tatum's coming over, then trying to step through the middle where Trey Lyles is already in help and rips it away. Active hands, you know, just shadowing the basketball. And not only that help being there and Trey just being in the right place at the right time, but the trust that someone was going to be there. And I felt like that was happening so many times. Yes. With him on the floor, with so many other guys. Kevin Huerter, I mean, how many times, you know, 19 minutes tonight, but how many times do we talk about what he isn't doing defensively?
Three steals tonight.
And that's what I was going to say. In a team defense, what his length can do and how it can really help with some of his flaws. And you're just seeing guys talking it up, playing together, and not only on just throughout the way that they're playing defense, but like you said, with their rebounding as well.
Yeah, and they're just plays. Like I was clipping some other plays where I just like the physicality. There was, Kings are up a dozen, but you feel like, all right, is any lead safe with this group? You never know. We've seen them blow big time leads, and you're going up against the Celtics team that's high octane. You know, we're talking about late shot clock situation. Holiday's got the rock. Monk's applying some good pressure, and then Keegan Murray's like hugging Jason Tatum. Yep. Tatum slips to go to the basket, and you see Keegan in pursuit of the ball, and it's an easy steal. Like, they were playing such amazing defense. The three-point defense was good, too. Like, we're talking about running guys off the line, right? Here's a situation where you see Monk come over, help off White to run Porzingis off the line, then Sabonis gets back and help, and go straight up vertical. Porzingis takes an awful shot.
And not only did you see that on that possession where Jaylen Brown started going downhill, Keegan loses him, the help is there. But then look at the way that Monk is trying to run out on Porzingis. Yeah. Porzingis has to go in the paint. But look where Keegan's also rotating out on, understanding where Derek White is on the floor. Like, just the understanding of always being aware of where a shooter is. If you aren't denying, you know, whoever you were on, where do you need to be next? Like, you just see that focus. And I keep saying that it's like kind of like Keon said to us at practice the other day when we asked about the defense. And we always talk about how they're playing freely on the offensive end, but on the defensive end as well. Like, they're not as fearful of gambling, but also they're going to play it the right way. They're not just going to gamble in the passing lane just every single time so they can try and get something in transition. They're being smart about it, but they're also having the freedom to kind of make those mistakes if they do, and understand that someone else is going to be there to help them.
And I think it's helped them in a big way. And it goes to something I said last podcast, okay? Because we spent so much time talking about simplifying the offense, but simplifying the defense a little bit too, like you said. And I think what I'm beginning to realize about this group at this stage, we all thought they were going to be better than they started this year. Mm-hmm. Everybody thought that, even if you didn't think they were going to be great. But this group has a lot of smart players.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some intriguing talent that has some physical gifts out there. Like, Keon Ellis is just like tenacity and just like the instincts out there defensively, right? Playing the passing lanes. Keegan's physicality. Keegan taking a couple of games off, I think has helped him in a big way with the shooting and his defense tonight. He played outstanding defense on Jason Tatum. What the Kings did on Tatum tonight, I hope they review that tape and look at it and just... I hope that gives them the confidence need going forward, because Tatum can kill you. with all those weapons. Morgan, it was Keegan on him. It was blitzing at the right time, the right double teams, the right help. But to your point, it's trusting that this group of players, not every team can do this, that this group of players can give them a blueprint of what needs to happen defensively and then let them go just do it and read the game.
Anyone that has, I think, even played basketball. Yep. I'm not even going to say at a high level. Just anyone that has played basketball and understands the game, you might not have the best individual personnel on the defensive end, but what you can do when you play together is incredible. You can have so much success. Now, there's going to be times when the next level comes or the playoffs. Postseason, whatever you want to say. And it's like, it's not going to be the same. That's fine. That's fine. Like, get there when you get there. But if you play a style that is discipline and together, and when I say discipline, I'm talking about everyone being able to sacrifice their bodies or their hands are up all the time. That, you know how difficult that is to move your legs while your hands are up in passing lanes, always talking, all those little things that you have to think about. And I just feel like this team is doing all those little fundamental things on the defensive end as a team. And that is the buy-in. And that is why it is working.
The buy-in's fantastic. It's beautiful. You know, early on in this game too, I was just looking back at my notes in that first quarter. They were targeting Keon a lot with Jaylen Brown. And I was worried about that because Keon, as gifted as he is defensively, there's just, I mean, Jaylen Brown, he takes his shirt off. You go, oh my God, is that Deuce Mason? Like how chiseled and ripped and strong he is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just, it's insane. You see, what?
Yeah. No, it's just.
So crazy. It could be a tough match. And they went to that a lot, but then the Kings adjusted. They brought more help over. They switched some matchups, which was great, but they didn't let that deflate them either.
Yeah.
They kept playing. And I thought tonight going into the game, we had talked about this. It needed to be the OKC blueprint because there's some similarities there. Obviously, OKC has some defensive players that are like crazy, right? Like Lou Dort. Talk about SGA's ability, Cason Wallace.
Yeah.
They've got a lot, and they have a good team defense, right? Yes. But Sacramento, in terms of like a size, from a size perspective, there are some similarities there, right? And you've got Keegan, who's got great size that you look at him, you're like, God, he's about the same size as Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
You know, Sabonis may not be a shot blocker, but he's a big body and he's a force down there. And when he's locked in and playing with that type of effort, he could be good defensively. And then you add on the perimeter with Keon, right? Devin, even Malik tonight. Malik Monk. Dude, I think he stripped Jason Tatum at one point. Tatum had 8 turnovers in this game.
Oh, beautiful. So,
I think he had one sequence on Jaylen Brown that was outstanding, too. Even Devin Carter tonight, who is kind of the unsung hero to me, the way he started that fourth quarter.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Doug Christie stuck with him. Doug just said, no, he's playing well. Doug mentioned this after the game, too. He was about to go to Keon to tell him, hey, I'm going to roll with Keon.
Yeah.
And as he's walking over to Keon to tell him, Keon
I'm
going to
roll with Devin.
Hey, stay with Devin.
Yeah.
Is that what I said? Or
you said, I'm going to roll with Keon. And then he walked over to Keon.
Let's rewind that.
Use your mind.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
So Devin Carter was really productive in his minutes, right? Huge impact in the fourth quarter.
Sure.
Knocked down those back-to-back threes and took Pritchard off the dribble with a strong take to the basket. Mm. Both of his threes made were over Porzingis. And then he was bringing it defensively, too. Just a pest. He was everywhere. And Doug went over to Keon and be like, hey, I'm going to roll with Devin here. And before he could say that, Keon said to Doug, no, keep Devin in. And that's the type of like selflessness. I love that sacrifice. Like, yeah, let's roll with what's going well.
And Keon also understands that he's not going to ultimately lose minutes or his spot just because a teammate is doing well. Like, he understands his value. Like, that's just being confident in your value. And when you can also uplift others in the profession that you are in, you are going to see success. So yeah, I loved hearing that, especially with Keon Ellis, you know, only playing those 23 minutes. But the understanding of Doug really understanding what is working. So he's going to keep rolling with that.
Dude,
right?
Also in 22 minutes had 3 steals. The Kings had 11 steals tonight. 3 from Kevin Huerter in his 19 minutes. 3 from Keon Ellis. 2 from Keegan Murray.
You started talking about, and I'm sorry, I went back to Keon, but you started talking about Devin Carter in that fourth quarter. And I think, I forget at what point it was like only the first half. He had 6 minutes or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, oh, maybe Doug's not going to go back to him. You know, something that we saw a lot with someone like Mike Brown, right? Where it's like people had their chance and then he's going to go with what he needs to go forward. I love when rotations are staggering, when they are like, no, we need a vibe with something else right now. And then for someone like Devin Carter to step up in the way that he did, especially on the offensive end, attacking the basket, attacking Peyton Pritchard, being willing and confident to shoot the threes that he did shoot. And, you know, I think even he was 3 for 5. Yeah. I remember the one where he was like, oh, can I, you know, kind of not a heat check, but just,
I loved it.
Like him taking it. I'm like, it's not a bad look.
And the two he hit in that fourth quarter were both, I believe, over Porzingis. The first one, Porzingis gave him a little space. I think he was worried about getting blown by. And then the second one, like, was a better contest by Porzingis, but it was confident. And it's like, yeah. And then, you know, you got the ball in your hand, go make something happen. He also had that one scoop, I think, that was on Tatum that ended up being a shot clock violation.
Like,
oh my God, how'd you get that off? Yeah. Yeah, like, he's a rookie. He's going to make some mistakes. But just from a pure confidence standpoint, I loved it. And start of the fourth quarter, you know, you just ended the third pretty well. It's tied at 76. You come out of the gate with a punch. And, you know, Doug let Devin Carter cook in that stretch. Devin Carter ended up playing, my God, I mean, he played like the first close to eight minutes of that, 7.5 minutes of that fourth quarter.
Yeah. The impact that was made on both ends of the floor from him. It's been really nice to see the energy that he brings, but also like the fact that he belongs, you know, you weren't sure what you were going to get, especially with the Kings and how they were playing. There was questions everywhere. And now you're seeing guys like your rookie and Devin Carter make an instant impact. You're seeing guys like Trey Lyles come off the bench, make some shots, get some rebounds, play tough. So many different guys.
We had just watched that Oklahoma City Boston game, and it was fun. We did it. We actually did a clip on it right after, because I was just amazed at how Oklahoma City locked down the second half, held them to 27 points, right? Obviously they scored 42 against Sacramento in the second half. What OKC did was crazy next level. But for Sacramento, like it was a lot of the similar things. It was applying ball pressure, running them off the three-point line, forcing them into different looks, rotating, helping the helper, playing with physicality, intensity. When there are misses, getting out and pushing tonight, Sacramento ended up with 17 fast break points, trying to get easy buckets. It helps when you knock down shots. It was crazy to see how they started this game. They were 8 of 18. In the first quarter, they took 18 three-point attempts in that first quarter. Then they go 2 of 18 combined in the second and third. In the fourth quarter, 8 of 11 from three. They outscored Boston 38-21 in the fourth quarter.
Reviving. But
yeah, it reminded me a little bit of the Oklahoma City game. I'm like, holy shit, like this team is locked in, playing with pace. They're together right now. And that is a massive credit to the players for sticking together as a unit during some of these tough times throughout the year, during the frustration. And then it's Doug for kind of like, I don't know if it's inspiring or whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
But whatever it is completely rejuvenated this team.
Yeah. You know what's interesting too? I do feel like in the beginning of the season, what I've liked about this roster and this team, I felt like even through all the adversity or whatever was happening under Mike Brown, they remained together. Even if they weren't playing the same style, I think behind the scenes, things still felt together. They talked about togetherness, and you're seeing togetherness vibing in this in a much happier way. And for them to experience all the lows together and to stay together for all these highs, and you're just seeing how special, how magical it can become on the basketball floor.
Dude, it's special right now.
It is fun stuff.
And belief is powerful, man. When you have someone that believes in you and, you know, you're staying positive, and then, you know, there's a switch.
Yeah.
And it feels good.
Do you believe?
Oh, you know what I believe in, maybe now.
What?
Remember that mirror?
Oh,
Jebediah, give me that
No.
Jeb.
No.
You,
Thank
okay,
you.
Sit down, idiot. Okay, so Morgan, reset for the people for a second.
Reset. Okay, was it right after Mike Brown was fired?
I think it was to start the new year.
And I dropped this mirror 10 times so I can like pluck little brows and shit. And
you didn't drop the mirror 10 times. It's 10 times magnified or whatever.
Thank you. 10 times magnified? Yeah.
Yeah. You've made it sound like you dropped the mirror 10 times.
So no, this mirror, 10 times magnified. And I just like swung something and it dropped and it broke. And I was like, ah, shit. Like, isn't that going to mean like bad luck or something? So of course I go to TikTok to find all my information. And the first thing that comes up is someone's like, all it is you're breaking through all the negativity to get to the other side. And I brought this up on our New Year's Eve podcast, telling Deuce, like, I don't know, man, I believe in this shit. And like, we've had a vision board before. We have this mirror, this broken mirror, where we broke through all the negative energy and we are getting to the other side. And holy shit, we're seeing a lot of wins.
And how many losses do they have since that happened?
One.
Zero.
Oh, wait, you think
it... Zero in 2025.
Oh, zero in 2025. When was the Lakers?
I don't know.
Who cares?
They haven't lost since this.
Really?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, my God. Oh, you're right. Wow. What a time.
Amazing.
So, everyone, remember what we said last time. Everyone...
Go break mirrors.
Go break mirrors right now.
Go to your bathroom. Smash a mirror.
Smash.
Yeah.
Tell your parents, Deuce and Mo told you to.
Could you imagine... You're like blood everywhere. Like, dude, like, you had my child smash a mirror. He needed 17 stitches. Yeah, but are the Kings winning?
Yeah, like, do you care about
it's a
the
stitch
beam?
What do you mean, man?
Thank you. So anyway, thank you for buying in.
Yeah. Some other things from tonight. Talking about the rebounding, Morgan. It was 56-43. Sacramento out rebounded Boston by 13 tonight. They had 16 offensive rebounds to 8. In the second half, Sacramento had 8 offensive rebounds. Boston had 0.
Ooh.
The fight, ooh, the aggressiveness, yep, the battling. I love the that effort. Shit. And, you know, the guy we have to spend some time on now, man. Put some respect on this guy. Domantas Sabonis. 23 points. A Sacramento era record. 28 rebounds. He surpassed Chris Webber's record of 26 rebounds that came in an overtime loss to Indiana. Webber had 50 points in that game. I think it was like 51 and 26 okay, or something. Sabonis, 23 points, 28 rebounds on 10 of 15 shooting, 3 of 4 from downtown. Let's start with the rebounding.
Okay.
Everybody on the floor knows this guy is a good rebounder. Everybody talks about, oh, he's under. This guy went and got the boards, played with that physicality, just nasty out there.
Yeah. Not only did he finish defensive possessions, he created so many new opportunities for the Kings. He disrupted so many different opportunities for the Celtics to feel better about their life on the offensive end, crushed their dreams with the way he was rebounding tonight. That was impressive.
He had 8 offensive rebounds, 20 defensive rebounds for the total of 28.
My.
Just nasty, dude.
8 offensive rebounds.
And
alone.
I think I saw a stat from Sean Grandy, the longtime radio voice of the Celtics, that I should share.
Oh.
Because it's pretty crazy here. Most rebounds in Boston the last 50 years.
Oh.
Domantas Sabonis, 28.
Uh-huh.
The last time this happened, March of 2002, Ben Wallace had 28 against Boston. Most rebounds against Boston. Sacramento's first win in Boston in front of fans in 18 years.
Ooh.
Sabonis shatters Kevin Love's 14-year-old TD Garden rebounding record, and it was Boston's worst loss of the season.
Oh, that is so fun to hear. I love the feeling of crushing the defending champs, and like, not in some bullshit matter, right? They're playing good basketball. They're doing it the right way. They did it without one of their best players. They did it after facing the adversity of losing a head coach and losing a lot of games. Yeah, like there's a lot to this as to why this win was so special and so shitty for the Boston Celtics.
One other Domantas Sabonis note I want to mention. The 3 of 4 from downtown. Oh, yes. He is not hesitating on threes this year. We have been asking for how many years? For 3 years. Mm-hmm. Man, it'd just be so nice if Sabonis could knock down some threes. Mm-hmm. Can he take some more? Last year, he shot it at a good rate. An efficient rate. But it didn't take a lot of them. Well, I looked at the numbers. Last year, Sabonis took 87 threes. Okay. 87. He was 33 of 87.
Okay.
Pretty good percentage.
Yeah.
This year, through 38 games, he has taken 85. He's almost matched last year's total threes. He'll probably do that next game. He has made more threes than he did last year. 39 of 85 from three, just under 46% from downtown this year.
You think about adding that to his game, especially in today's NBA, and what that does for an entire roster. Having a big that can pass, great. Love it. You love to see it. Having a big that can score from the inside out, that's where you can really try so many different things, especially when you have another player with a unique skill set of being one of the fastest players in the league, especially when you have another player and someone like Malik Monk, who his playmaking ability gets better and better season by season. So there's so many things with Domas being able to shoot that three, but is attempting more threes at a confident level that is just...
He's not thinking about it anymore. And that's been,
so impactful.
Last game against Miami, that double OT game, when he took that three without hesitation to give the Kings the lead. I'm like, holy shit. And then tonight, you're like, he doesn't care. There's one big second chance one. It was actually a sequence that made Boston look really bad. It was in the fourth quarter. Monk is wide open on the three. There's some miscommunication on who needs to switch out. And Holiday and Jaylen Brown are kind of like looking at each other like, who needs to go out? And no one went out. Monk missed the three.
Yep.
Second chance opportunity. Yep. I think Keegan might have gotten there for that.
They
kick it out. Sabonis is open, and Sabonis just takes the three. It was like a late closeout. Yep. He buried it. And I'm like, dude, this guy is not only just like he's hitting like timely ones. Like,
he's
you
not
need
hesitating.
It. I don't know about you, but in that fourth quarter, even when the Kings were up like 12-15, I'm like, oh, shit. I was stunned out of the timeout when Mazzulla put his bench in. I'm like, oh.
Okay. I didn't understand why he did that but maybe he just knows his team and knows that like they didn't have it, but I didn't feel that same way. I was like, are you sure? This is a Sacramento Kings.
Have you watched them this year?
They know how to lose.
You're still
in on a win.
Yeah.
But you're seeing them play a different style of basketball, even in late in games. And they're playing a style where they know how to finish off a game. They know how to win a game now. And that is something we just weren't saying confidently before.
Man.
Big enough sample size to really like say that too.
Under Doug Christie, they're 6-1. They are during that time third in points per game at 121 a game. During that time under Doug Christie, this last seven games, they're fifth in offense. They're fifth in defense. Top five in offense and defense,
dude.
I think that's probably the biggest surprise about what the compete level defensively and how, like, dude, even with a team that may not be chock full of crazy defenders, the team defense is locked in right now, and you're seeing it. And I think adding Devin to the fold has really helped things too. And the last three games without De'Aaron Fox, like, holy shit.
Yeah, I know. I think believe what your eyes are showing you.
And that's the biggest thing I would say too, is like what we've seen recently. When the Kings were winning games earlier this year, and I might have already said this on the podcast.
You did.
Okay.
Or maybe you said it to me, but I think you said it on the podcast.
Yeah, it's just like even some of the wins were like, well, they found a way. Okay, cool. That's good. You find a way. Or
it was clunky. It wasn't consistent. And it's
hang on to that one.
It's a game of runs. Like, they're still going to be these games. The Kings are still going to lose.
But you just went to Golden State and beat the shit out of the Warriors. You went to Boston and beat the shit out of them late in that game.
Just raise the banner.
What, you beat Boston banner?
It's been a long time.
Can you imagine, guys? We have an announcement. Check out our new banner. We beat Boston. First time in 18 years without fans.
I was in when I was in San Francisco at the NBC studios, the Warriors pre and post crew, so like Bonte, Molly, and Festus are in there, and Bonte's giving me shit like, you're raising the banner after beating the shit out of the Warriors. I'm like, hell yeah. Any win, it like, I'm going to celebrate, and I'm going to celebrate like I haven't been there before, because I haven't been there before. And with all of the shit that has happened with the ups and downs, even in this year, yeah, every single good thing that happens this year is going to get treated like it's the best thing in the world.
You got to enjoy the ride. You got to enjoy the ride. No crazy ass runs in this game completely. You know, Boston won that run to start the second quarter, 16-3. I was looking back at my notes a little bit. One of my favorite Keon plays in this game. Keon got the ball in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Jaylen Brown closed out on the three. And Ellis puts the ball on the floor, drives on Jaylen Brown, and won.
Oh, like, yep. Oh, when he was patient with it too. Yeah. He stopped, two footed jump stop, got Jaylen Brown up, goes in him, gets the end one opportunity. Yep.
Malik had some amazing drive. He had a drive on Jaylen Brown that was awesome. Monk finished with 22 points. He had 8 assists. The shooting wasn't super efficient. 9 of 24, 3 of 11 from downtown, but I still felt like he brought the juice tonight. Sabonis had his 20th rebound, by the way, in the third quarter. That's his fifth 20-plus rebound game of the season. That leads the NBA.
We gave a little bit of love to the confidence of Keegan Murray, but I want to give a little bit more love of him knocking down some of those early shots. But then, and we gave love to his defense. But it was just so nice to see him knock down even more threes throughout the game. Like, it wasn't like, oh, he knocked down those two. Okay. Everyone went cold, right? The Kings went cold in the second quarter, and it was just like, oh, shit. Okay, maybe it was just a good first quarter. It's like, nope. It started to continue again in that second half, and Keegan finished 5 of 8 from beyond the arc. You just love to see him be a little bit more aggressive, confident, free-flowing with his shot, especially when someone would get it to him in just a catch-and-shoot situation. I loved it.
One play where it was he got the ball in a catch-and-shoot, and I think White was a defender, and Carter was in the corner next to him, and he kind of faked like he was going to pass to Carter and got White to bite just a little bit. Gave him the space and hit the three. And I'm like, oh, wow. I don't see that often from Keegan Murray. Keegan finished with 19 points in this game. He won the defensive player of the game crown too. He had 3 blocks, 2 steals, 7 of 12 shooting, 5 of 8 from downtown. I think Will Z put out a number that he's 12 of his last 22 from 3-point land too. Keegan Murray was with G-Man after the game. You want to hear the conversation?
Sure. Cute. So, do we have a Kings player on the headset? And who might that be?
Keegan.
Keegan? It's G-Man.
Keegan. What's up?
I know that you've only visited Boston. I think this is your third time in your 3-year NBA career.
Yeah.
It's for your first time to get a win here, but it's only the second time in like 17 years the Kings have won in this building. That's how special it is for old folks like me. You tell me what it's like to have a 6-game winning streak.
It feels good. Just from what we went through in December to where we're at now, it's a complete 360. So it's just, it's a good vibe in our locker room, and just at this point, we just got to keep it going.
I know you're frequently asked, as the Kings have had some success here of late, what's been the key to this turnaround and this different vibe?
Just the pace that we're playing with. Offensively, we're just free-flowing, not doing much. We're really just hooping. I think that's the biggest thing. We're all having a lot of fun with it. So when you have fun and you're hitting shots and things like that, things are going to go your way.
Well, it's been a long time since you've had a I can't even spit it out. On a night where you've made 5 3-pointers, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
How good does that feel?
It feels good. I feel like my normal self, back healthy, things like that. So for me, it's just my confidence is at an all-time high right now, and just need to keep that rolling. So.
Well, I want to ask you about a couple of other performances tonight. Let's start with that first quarter. The Kings set a tone by hitting 5 of their first 7 threes. That's the good news. Then they went into a long spell there where they couldn't buy a three. But in the fourth quarter, you knocked down 8 of them as a team. Man, that's just spectacular.
Yeah. Our focus this game was just to shoot a lot of threes. I think our goal is like 45 or something like that. And we know that we're a good three-point shooting team, especially recently. So that was just it, and we got on a roll late and just closed out the game.
Three of you end up scoring 20 or more. Malik had 22. DeRozan had 24 after he had a real struggle early on. But I want to ask you about Domas. We sometimes, I think, are guilty of taking him for granted. Mm-hmm. Tonight, 23 points, a career high, 28 rebounds. And a couple of times, he sets a screen that opens up an alley for either you or Malik to get
great
to the basket.
Point,
how significant are those little plays that don't show up in the box score?
Yeah, I mean, he's a real physical player. We have a presence like him down low, and the physicality that he brings, it helps any team offensively and defensively. So, I mean, his presence is huge, and you saw that on the stat sheet and off the stat sheet today.
Keegan, we always appreciate a few moments of your time. Congratulations. This is a special win in my mind, and let's keep it going.
Heading on
to Chicago.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Keegan Murray. And the
There's G-Man, the great Gary Gerald, longtime radio voice of the Kings in his 40th season. Can tell he enjoyed tonight's victory.
I love it. Keegan. Oh, Keegan, hello.
Sup.
And then Jesse Crowder. Excited Keegan sounds like dot, dot, dot. Every other Keegan. Great point.
Yeah, and I also love that he said, well, season's been kind of like a complete 360.
Well, it's actually a 180.
Let it
be. It's a 180.
Let it be.
It's 360. We're just in the same spot. That's not a good thing. Right? It's a 180, Keegan.
That's right, 180. Keeks.
Not
That's
360.
Right. I liked it.
A couple other things he said, though. Uh-huh. He talked about his confidence.
Yes.
Is at an all-time high.
Yeah. He's feeling good with playing underdog, playing in the role that he is in. And that's just good to see. I mean, it's good to hear. And, you know, it makes you think about so many different things. But I'm also so down to just move forward, especially with all the winning. It's like,
yeah, I know. The reality, though, is like, his confidence was shaken. And he sounds like, if there's one person who's been really happy about the change with Mike Brown to Doug Christie, it's him.
It's just like, but you
I was like, why is he smiling so much?
And you hear it from numerous people, and it's just like, it just sucks when you think about, when you do think about someone who's like such a good person and obviously is such a basketball mind. But it's like we always say, like, someone can be a great coach, but not be a great coach for a certain roster. Can be a great, or be a boss material, but not be a good boss for certain personnel. Like, it's just, it is what it is. And so it's nice, though, that the new boss and the new coach, everything is working under him right now, and I am loving it.
So the Kings are now 19-19. They were 18 of 47 from three. Keegan told G-Man that Doug Christie wanted them to get to 45 threes. And Boston's big three, big thing is they want to shoot more threes than the opponent.
Like,
they just think that will lead to them more nights not walking away with a victory in a regular season game. Sacramento took more than them. Six more threes in this game tonight, 18 of 47. Boston was at 11 of 41. That's 26.8%. They were 40% from the field. We mentioned the Kings out rebounding them. Sacramento also had 11 steals in this game, and they had 8 blocks in this game. They had more blocks than the Celtics. 3 from Keegan. Everyone in the starting lineup had a block tonight. Damn.
Yeah. It, again,
that's impressive.
They were everywhere, and it started from the first quarter, which is something that we have also not seen consistently throughout this season. But the last couple of games, we have seen it.
Let's give some more love to the super chats out there. Appreciate you guys so much. Ian donates $5, saying, "In my opinion, Brown understood that he saw this team's flaws, but tried to bend players into something they weren't. Doug addresses our flaws, but by embracing our strengths."
Appreciate the chat and the perspective too.
Yeah. That's a good one right there.
Yeah.
Doug addresses our flaws by embracing our strengths. Jonathan donated $5. Appreciate that. Thank you to PMV as well, who also donated and said, "Why all the Fox hate? It's depressing."
People hating?
I guess in the chat.
Oh. Well, doesn't that always happen though?
Yeah. 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 I mean, that's trust me. It's look, so De'Aaron Fox did not play for the third consecutive day. He's had a glute issue after the fall, which was a nasty fall. I mean, it was a thud. It was out of control. G-Man also said before the game that his hip's actually bugging him a little bit right now, too. So, you know, we know he's already playing with the hand thing. He's played with the whole season, but that was a nasty fall. He missed the back-to-back games. I thought, oh, maybe he'll play tonight. He went through shoot-around this morning. He was on the floor. Chris Biederman of the B put a video out. I'm like, okay, Fox is moving a little weird.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't look too good. So he did not play tonight.
Good.
And I just think the Fox stuff is simple, Morgan. It's because of everything that's been happening lately, dude. It goes back to the Draymond thing. It goes back to, you know, the Detroit loss and, you know, this team struggling. And now they're winning without him. So it's like, oh, see? It's like, well, you know, the Kings did actually, he was part of the six-game streak. He's also, you know, scored a lot of points this year in the NBA.
But people do that with everything. It's the same thing when even DeMar was out like a game or two or whatever, and then like they won, and then everyone's like, oh, it's so much less. I mean, it's totally fine to analyze everything, but it also you have to take a step back and be realistic and understand when one of the best players in the NBA is not on the floor and they're winning doesn't mean that they're just winning because that person isn't on the floor. You know, like there's just so many layers to it. And I don't even think I need to explain it.
I think it's exciting the fact that they're finding ways to do it without him. Like, I think that's good for their confidence too. And the ball, ever since Doug took over, the ball has been popping more. Yeah. The pace has been there and it seems like everybody's embracing it. I mean, hell, if we're talking about, you know, people's reactions, it's funny, like, seeing reaction in game to, like, DeMar DeRozan conversation. DeMar DeRozan tonight started, what, 5 of 20 or 5 of 21?
It was
5 of 21.
Was it 5 of 21?
But he was literally, I was watching, I'm like, oh, that's a good shot. He makes that shot. And I'm trying to, in my first year watching DeMar as close as I've ever watched him, obviously, because he's in Sacramento. I try to look at him like, look, he's done this a long time. He's a confident dude. Like, he's going to take, if he's got a good look, he's going to take it.
Yeah.
And so he, through three quarters, couldn't make shit.
Nope.
You know, I'm over there like, okay, like, maybe it's not your night, DeMar. But I'm also going, I don't know that the Kings could win this game tonight without Fox and if DeMar doesn't knock down some shots.
Well.
And guess what? In the fourth quarter, I think he hit like 4 of 6 for 12 points. He ended up with 24.
He knocked down not only some big shots when it mattered most, which we've seen him do before. And I don't think his shot selection altogether was the worst throughout the game or in the beginning of the game or anything. You know, like, you're still trying to get yours. I mean, there's definitely some shots in moments where I'm like, no, what are you doing? Like, but you can do that with anyone. You can nitpick anyone, but you're going to nitpick someone who does get the ball a lot. The thing that I do love to see with him though, is because there's still this understanding around the league that he can make that shit and he can make it at a high clip when he does knock it down. And then that's when defenses pay attention to him and he gets to drop 9 dimes, you know, because you see people have to shift toward him, maybe throw a double at him, leaving another person open. He's got that vision. He's got that ability to pass and love seeing that he had, it was 9 assists. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nine.
No turnovers, 24 points, and 9 assists, 4 rebounds, a steal, no turnovers and a block. 9 of 26 overall, got it going in that fourth quarter. Had some big shots, and he had one late shot clock with Jason Tatum on him, and he took Jason Tatum to the rack. I'm like, God damn, dude. He just took, you know, 35-year-old DeMar DeRozan just took Jason Tatum to the cup in a tight game.
Yeah. Looked good.
He comes up big, man.
It was fun. Oh,
man, shout out to everyone hanging out with us on a Friday night, man. This live crowd is crazy. Let me do a refresh because I want to see what our likes are up, our thumbs up, because all it does is help our channel grow. Okay.
Ooh. All right.
Listen, you guys are basketball sickos, or you claim to be basketball sickos because you're here late on a Friday night going into a Saturday morning. The thumbs up, when we've got a massive audience, close to 1,500 live viewers.
Thank you.
We should have 1,000 likes by now. And subscribe. We're trying to get to 20,000 subs. All it does is help our channel grow. Appreciate you guys for being here.
Deuce. Give me a hell yeah.
I love the deuce math.
Yeah.
That you do. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome.
Best one of the season is the poll question. Mm-hmm. 93% of the people who have voted tonight say, oh, hell yes.
Ooh.
7% say no. It's the best one of the season.
People feeling good.
It's not even debatable.
I think I saw Kendrick Perkins say the same thing for the Kings. When you listen to anything Kendrick Perkins
says. He said that on social media?
I think when you were pulling up something, I thought I saw it on X or Twitter or whatever the shit is called. And it was like, the best win of the season for the Kings in the defending champs house. Oh, yep.
Best. Yep, here we go. Kendrick Perkins, best win of the season for the Kings, walking the defending champs' crib and gave them that work.
Yep, there you go. See? So 93% of you agree with Kendrick Perkins.
Also, shout out to Whitey Gleason with the comment of the night saying, Brian Windhorst will be quick to point out the Celtics were without Larry Bird tonight. That's funny.
Great bit, Whitey.
And for
great
bit. For those who missed it, here is a quick conversation from the Hoop Collective talking about the Kings. Ooh. This is before tonight's game, obviously. The topic was Kings turning things around. And here's what Windhorst had to say on the podcast with Bontemps and McMahon. And I don't know why it's not playing. Oh, I know why. Derp. Here you go.
Anyway, Mike Brown got fired. Doug Christie took over. And they have won five games in a row. They had a double overtime win over the Heat, which they made a big comeback in. It was a really bad loss for the Heat on Monday night. Now, let me just go over these five wins. There are some asterisks.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm going to say.
Some interesting things here.
They beat Dallas without Luka.
And Kyrie.
Oh, Kyrie was out for that game, too?
I don't like the smug face.
That one was kind of a rest night.
All right. That was their first one. They beat Philly. Paul George played great in that game, but Embiid did not play in that game. They beat Memphis without Ja.
No, Embiid did play, but they had a crazy comeback at the end after being down the entire game.
I'm going to stop for a second. Can I just say one thing about Tim Bontemps? I'm sure he's a nice guy. Never met him.
E9.
Just so smug. And the way he comes in and goes, no, Embiid did play. No, Embiid did play. Hey, I got breaking news at this hour. Embiid didn't play in that game. He didn't play. So why are you coming so confident
because,
that he played?
Because I don't know if you know that people won't like this, but there's just so many men do that.
Oh,
they just like,
don't.
I mean, you know it's true. If they act confident, then it's true.
Bontemps like, has that energy. Bro, let's continue on.
Do your homework.
Oh, he did play. Well, see, I'm.
Yes. But they scored 15 straight to win the game after being down virtually the whole game.
They blasted the Warriors without Steph.
I believe he played in the game, but it was the second night of a back to back for Golden.
Winners. They blasted the Warriors without Steph. Well, I do believe he played, but it was the second night of a back to back though. Can we just it's second night? No teams ever do that.
Golden State. They played.
I got all this wrong.
when you're poo pooing a winning streak, you let the USWB read this.
Steph did not play against Memphis the night before. Golden State won. Okay. It was the second night of a back-to-back for the Warriors. They got...
They lost by 30.
And they lost by 30. And then they had this crazy comeback.
I know for sure Jimmy Butler didn't play on Monday night.
And Jimmy Butler didn't play against Miami in what was another crazy comeback. By the way...
So there you go. In their like fashion of like, hey, let's talk about the Kings five-game win streak. You know what we'll do? Let's poke every fucking hole in them. It's like it's fine.
Holes
like,
that aren't even there.
And by the way, it's fine if your take is going to be like, hey, you know what, dude? They've won five in a row, but they're playing shorthanded teams. It's this new coach bump. I don't really buy it. If that's your stance, that's an opinion, and I respect that. But if you're gonna like come out this way, like you should know that Steph was playing or not, or if Embiid was playing or not, or if this player was in or out. And then you don't do Warriors on a back-to-back, as if no teams in the league ever have to deal with playing on the back-to-back.
That, but also, like you're so right to be able to back up your opinions. Like, you even think about in that Warriors game when Steph had 2 4-point plays, right? Like, in even that alone... of an NBA player to have in one single game and the run that they go on. And you think about the ups and downs, like understand, because that's all that the national media cares about are pretty much the Warriors and Lakers and whoever else is up there. So like, are you not watching them then in a Warriors versus Kings game? Like, isn't that part of your job
is
to just
problem.
Talk all about Warriors?
It's also just,
it's just weird.
The bigger issue is like, these are the people covering the league on a regular basis. And these are the people who go on podcasts and have these big opinions about teams. And you're like,
and narratives and narratives.
But unfortunately for them, here's their issue is fans are smarter than ever. And there's more ways to get content than ever. Mm-hmm. And there are people who actually are invested in like watching the league on a regular basis and not just like talking about the latest trade rumors all the time. The trade stuff is fun. We all get into it. But like, there's actually some of us who do enjoy watching basketball, and we do enjoy watching other teams play besides our own. And so when you have these people who have a large platform, you would just like to think that they would do some like basic research or homework. I'm big on this. Like, I, even on this podcast, there's some nights after a Kings game, we'll go over games around the league, and we always go, well, in games we haven't seen, let's just react to some of the
we make it
scores.
Clear.
Because you can't have an opinion on something you haven't seen. Like, what? How are you going to have some bold take on what this team is doing if you've not witnessed it yourself?
Or if someone is scoring you 40-something points, 50-something points, but you didn't watch how it went down, or you didn't see who was on what team, who didn't play, whatever, it matters. Context matters. Yep. And so hearing that about the Sacramento Kings, when the Sacramento Kings already get shit on in so many other ways, usually it's like, no, shit on them for if you don't like that they fired a head coach, however many games in, if you don't like this, if you don't like that, shit on whatever. But when you're talking about the style play in their wins and you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it just makes you look bad. End of story. I mean, that's just, you're so right. Oh, we appreciate you guys for being here. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. We got more of the podcast coming up in just a second. We should mention that tonight's podcast is presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. We are all one with Golden One, Morgan.
Yeah, we
are. And it pays to be a Golden One member because you can join for up to 50% off Kings home games, 15% off merch, and sometimes at Kings games, if you go to a game, you wave your card, Golden One card, when they ask you, you might get a seat upgrade too.
Yeah, scan that QR code that's on the screen right now and start your financial journey today.
Yeah, go to goldenone.com because we are all one.
One.
With Golden One. Also presented by our friends at Rocket Money.
Oh, Rocket Money. It's the start of a new year, which means it's the perfect time to get organized. And you know how I get organized?
I have
a whole bunch of Excel sheets with all of my budget numbers, bank accounts, all this crap. And I'm like, okay, how do I get more organized? You download Rocket Money, you make an account today, and life becomes way easier.
Yeah, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps you find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features.
Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/game on. That's rocketmoney.com/game on. You know where to go. Go and, you know, just start saving money today.
Yeah, rocketmoney.com/game on. Also presented by friends over at Northwest Exteriors. You need new windows on your house. You're thinking about it. There's no better place to go. Go check out their showroom for yourself. You can check out what windows make sense for you. See if it makes sense for you as well. It makes a lot of sense because it'll save you money. It'll save you money on your energy bill.
You said, see if it makes sense for you. And if it makes sense for you, it can make sense for you.
No, if it makes sense for you, it makes sense for you.
Obviously, it makes sense that you got the windows. I get it. I get it. That was just funny. So if it makes sense for you to make sense of windows, then it probably makes sense for you to go to Northwest Exterior.
I'm reading the script. That's the script.
Uh-oh.
Jebediah.
Yeah.
You gave me that script.
Calm. Jebediah. This is like strike seven. Don't just let him be.
Yeah. Well, if you need new windows, there's no better place to go than Northwest Exteriors. So go there today. It'll change your home. It'll make your home look sexier. It'll save you money on energy costs and make you feel safer. Go to their website, northwestexteriors.com, because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Thank you.
All right. Who should be the simply the best player of the game?
Probably Domas Sabonis.
Probably.
Oh, is that it?
Probably. Who else would be remotely close in your mind? Actually, give me a runner-up.
Okay.
Who's in second?
Oh, honestly, that's a great question. I guess in some way, no. So it's definitely Domas Sabonis. But if I had to give a runner-up, I'm leaning toward Keegan.
It's Keegan. Okay. Keegan's the right answer.
His defense, his making threes. But let's go to the simply the best player of the game. Yeah!
Domas Sabonis, 23 points tonight and 28 rebounds. Yes, 28 rebounds. That's a franchise record.
Insane.
For rebounds in the Sacramento area. In the era, I count that as a franchise record. Sorry, that's just me.
Yeah.
So in the 40-year history of the Sacramento Kings, Domas Sabonis at the top in rebounds. Hell in yeah. One game with 28. He was also 3 of 4 from downtown. Mm. Domas Sabonis are simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors.
Oh, yeah. Hell.
No, Keegan was really good, too, defensively. He DeMar was. With the playmaking. Devin.
Dude, even Monk with his energy. And Monk didn't have a turnover, if that's correct?
He had one.
Oh, he did have one. So one turnover with the amount.
I'm glad you brought the turnovers up. The Kings are doing such a good job taking care of them. They had 12 turnovers.
Yes. And like, think about how many games that we've talked about Domas trying to hit that pocket pass, trying to get someone on a slip, whatever. And it's just like, you're forcing. Or the turnovers that are just random where you're putting your foot on the sideline. I feel like the focus is just there in the ability to take care of the basketball because they are so locked in. It's all just coming together.
Someone asking about how many deflections tonight. Ooh. I think that was Mike asking.
It's probably up now, right?
It was, but sometimes they update even later. Like, okay. We found out after that Keon Ellis had 15 deflections instead in that 14. Game against Miami, and Domas had 8 in that game, which is crazy. So tonight, let's just see what's updated. They had 15 deflections tonight. Kevin Huerter led the team with 4.
Whoa.
Next up, Keon Ellis, 3.
Hey.
Next up, Domas Sabonis and Keegan Murray and Malik Monk with 2 apiece.
Woo.
Trey Lyles had 1 and DeMar had 1.
Good job, guys. Great job. Great effort.
Boston had 12 deflections. Dude.
Boo.
Yeah. Boo. Boston. Yeah, that's a good number, 15.
That's a great number.
I think they had like 26 last game, which is just insane.
And where it's great, I mean, you're just, again, you're slowing down a team in their half court offense, a team that likes to swing the ball around, get a nice 3. I thought Boston started doing a better job of working it in, getting some points in the paint. They finished with 40 points in the paint to the Kings 48 points in the paint. But again, without making their threes and the Kings rebounding the shit out of the basketball and ending a defensive play, it just was everything was going in their way.
Tatum only took 13 shots in this game. Only 13 attempts for Tatum. He had 15 points, 12 rebounds, 5 dimes, but 8 turnovers on 5 of 13 shooting, 3 of 7 from downtown. Peyton Pritchard, who, I mean, it can be so explosive. He had an off night, 1 of 7 from downtown. Hauser was 1 of 4. One of my favorite things I saw was the Kings at one point in the game ran him off the 3-point line.
Yes.
I've never been so excited to see Sam Hauser take a mid-range 2 that was made. I was like, oh, take it.
Yeah.
It's not 3.
Yeah, because he doesn't take like any.
I know.
Like, he literally only takes 3. So there. Try and force him to do something that he's uncomfortable with.
In the chat, someone's saying TD Bank was quiet tonight. Dude, the boos came out. After that Sabonis 3 on that second chance, ooh, they were booing the shit out of them.
The boos came out and the light the beam chants at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Like, how? How has that happened there? It's amazing. But I mostly love the boos. Because all I'm thinking in my head is, I'm like, Kings fans would never boo their team unless it was like the beginning to the end kind of thing. Like, again, against the Pistons in that loss is when you really started hearing Kings fans like starting to boo at the end. Yeah, right. Yeah. Because they were just like so upset that how do you lose that game? But I feel like with Celtics fans, it happens a lot more.
Yeah. Expectations.
Sure.
We want play-in. They want championships. Yeah.
100% and good for them. No, I mean, it's true. Yeah, it's like, of course we want championships, but baby steps.
Katie told an interesting story in the first quarter tonight, I think it was.
Okay.
She was saying that DeMar, without the knowledge of like the coaching staff, worked with like some film guys to compile some of like Doug Christie's like best defensive moments from his
so
career.
Cool.
Because some of the guys on the team don't know like much about Doug Christie. Like, Keon was suggesting the other day that he's a better defender than Doug. And I'm like, that's cute. That's cute. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who listen to this podcast going, yeah, Doug Christie played 23 years ago in Sacramento.
A long time ago.
I haven't seen him either. But for those who don't know, Doug Christie was like a legit ass defender, all defensive team guy, took on the toughest matchups, really talented defender. So DeMar had the film guys put this together and they showed the team and the coaches. It was like a fun surprise.
They had DeMar and them had them put together Doug Christie defensive highlights.
That's what I said. Did I not say that?
I don't think you said that part. That's why I was just making sure.
I'm pretty sure
you can rewind the tape, but Doug Christie defensive highlights and to show that one for DeMar to do that.
That's a cool. It's a great that's like together so cool. thing. Like
yes.
and DeMar knows because DeMar like
is old.
He's old. He's seen him play. I can tell you that. So that was cool.
It really, really
also,
cool.
I was dying at the fact that Katie was telling the story as Malik Monk threw down the dunk of the cench.
Oh no.
And the story, she finished the story. If I was telling that story in the middle of it, I would have been like, and then I would have not been able to finish the story because I would have forgot it. But it was a great story. I had not heard that. So
that's so cool.
That's cool.
That's so cool.
What other things do I have on my list tonight? DeMar breaks down Tatum. Love seeing that. Dude, I think we've hit almost everything tonight. If there's anything we missed, you guys can let us know in the chat. But I'm really happy with what we hit.
Hey guys, Deuce is happy with everything.
Well, I hate missing things.
I know.
All.
No, we know. We all know. We all get to hear about it. So
next up for the Sacramento Kings, they head to Chicago to the United Center to take on the Bulls. The Bulls have won 3 of their last 4 games. Zach LaVine has 30 plus in 5 consecutive games. He's playing some great basketball this year. This team is really explosive offensively. They're taking a lot more threes this year. They allow the 29th most points per game in the NBA. The only team who allows more, the Washington Wizards, who they played tonight and slapped around. It'll be DeMar DeRozan's first visit back to Chicago since leaving there over the summer. So that'll be interesting. And it'll be interesting to see if De'Aaron Fox is able to go coming up on Sunday. That is a 12:30 tip-off West Coast time.
That part kills me. But going just to the game, I think the Kings need to have the mentality of coming into this game tonight. And I feel like that's coming into every game that we've seen lately. But it's trying to set the tone of what you're going to do physically first, defensively especially, because obviously we're seeing what that can do with energizing the Kings offense and slowing down the Bulls offense is where you need to start.
Yeah, it has to be this. You have to approach Zach LaVine in that group like it is the Boston Celtics.
Yep.
Like, I just want to see that approach. And, you know, it doesn't mean that Chicago is not going to be able to score on you. Like, they're a good offensive team. They put up points. They put up over 130 points tonight against Washington. Like, I'm going to look at the box score to see, like, how disgusting it was. Let's see here. Yeah, they won 138-105 in regulation.
Yeah.
I mean, this is 4 quarters, right?
Yeah.
They shot 56%. They were 23 of 49 from downtown. They knocked down 23 threes in this game. LaVine had 33. Vucevic, 23 and 13. Yeah, they got a lot of scoring tonight.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to be an easy game.
No.
But dude, if you can secure that win, you're guaranteed to come back to Sacramento at 500, which would be huge. I want a 2-1 road trip minimum.
I would love a 2-1 road trip. I predicted a 1-2 road trip, but I'm feeling pretty confident after beating the Celtics.
Yeah. And then with De'Aaron's thing, I just hope this is not a long-term thing. When G-Man mentioned the hip thing, and I went back and watched that fall today, dude, it was nasty.
It was. It was very bad. And I can't believe why did you watch it?
You know what? You know, it's sad that I had to do this, but someone in our Discord was like, how is he still out with a glute contusion? And I'm like, did you not see like the fall he had? Like,
God,
it was so nasty. Like, so Jaren Jackson with the forearm, and he lands so hard on the ground.
What that would do to the average person's body is insane.
I told that person, 4916er, by the way, in our Discord, I told him, I'm like, if that happened to you, if you're playing a game, by the way, you would not get that high off the ground.
Yeah, one.
You would be leaving the building in a stretcher.
100%.
You would probably not be active at all. So
when we were one of my last pickup games with some of the Discord crew, you threw the ball as I was cutting, and it hit me in the face.
Yeah, but you were not ready for that. I'd be ready for my passes like you.
So anyway, it hit me in the face, and like I was done playing. Like old me, you just rub it off, whatever. But I'm telling you, the average person dropping like that or taking a hit or whatever, it's like, yeah, that shit hurts. And when you're also expected to play at the highest of high levels and you're beat up a little bit, take your time. Take your time.
And it's huge that they're winning without him. I love it. I love this shit.
Yeah.
He was all fired up on the bench tonight. That was cool.
That was cool.
Let's get to some final thoughts.
One of my final thoughts, this is fun. And dude, I just want to keep riding this high. I want to keep enjoying it because I almost didn't even believe it at first. I'm like, oh, this is cute. This is fun. How long will this last? And I know there's still going to be ups and downs. Like you're going to see it. But one of my favorite things, and this is the same thing that happened with the Beam Team year, is the style of play is what brought me the energy every single night that I needed, whether it was on a broadcast, a podcast later, talking with all of you guys. It's just, it's much more fun to talk about, even in some losses that are ahead. It's just a fun product to talk about, a fun style of basketball, and I'm excited to keep talking about it.
That's the biggest thing. And it seems like the joy is back for the fans, but most importantly for the players. And when they're out there having fun, dude, you feel that when you're watching at home. Like tonight, watching Sabonis being all fired up, and even the last few games, you're just seeing more emotion from the guys. You're seeing a fight. You're seeing a lot of love. And that's what makes being a sports fan so much fun, is feeling the joy from the team you root for every night. And when they are playing with that type of fight, fire, joy, dude, that shit is inspiring. Like, it makes it they're easy to root for when they play like that. So I don't know. I'm just really, really happy for Doug to get this opportunity and, the 6-1 start since he's taken over.
Fun stuff.
He's pressing the right buttons right now.
He is.
And that's the other thing that makes it such a cool story that I just hope continues, is because this guy truly wants to be here.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to go coach anywhere else. He literally has said this before, and it sounds so corny, but in my conversations with him, we've had him on the podcast many times. How many times he goes, I have unfinished business here. 2002, when the Kings lost to the conference finals to the Lakers and then never got back, and then he eventually gets traded to Orlando. Like, that shit haunts him. And that's not like it haunts me, it bugs me. It's like, no, it genuinely, like, he wants a championship in Sacramento, I think, more than anything in his life. Mm. And he wants to do everything he can possibly do to make that happen. And I don't know. I just love that. I really do love that about him.
Same.
My last thought, man, I know Morgan will echo these thoughts, but our thoughts are with everyone in Southern California right now, because it's just devastating. And I know we have listeners in that area too, and people who watch the show.
Awful.
I just, words can't even describe those images that we're seeing, and it's just devastating. It's so devastating and sad. And, our thoughts are with everyone who's being impacted by it, because there's a lot of people who have lost homes in that area, or family or friends whose lives have been completely turned upside down. And so we wish everybody the best. I mean, the Lakers and Clippers canceled their games coming up too.
Yeah, no, it's just,
man,
absolutely awful. It's like you said, it's hard to even put it into words and express how sad and devastating it is. So,
So please hang in there. And if you guys have ways to help in any way you can. So, yeah, our thoughts are with everybody dealing with that. We appreciate you guys so much. We'll be back on Sunday evening. The game's at 12:30 p.m. So doing the math, I think we're going to be live around 6 p.m., 6:30 p.m.
Cool.
Pacific time that night, following Kings and Bulls, and we'll talk some NBA too. We love you guys so, 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 so much, but we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.